following podcast is part of the Underdog Sports Podcasting Network. For a full list of our shows, as well as breaking sports news and engaging feature stories, visit us at www.theunderdogsports.com.
What's up, everybody? I'm Matt Schlernitzauer.
I'm Tim Wolf.
And this is Underdog Philly Sports Talk. Devin Booker dropped 46 against the Sixers last night, and he was going off. Let's talk about it a little bit.
There's just no stopping him on offense. Every time he had the ball, he just seemed like he was going to make the shot. Even when he was heavily contested, even when he was 30 feet out.
I just remember this one play where it was the fourth quarter and Redick was right in Booker's face and the shot clock was at 3 and Devin Booker let it go and he just drained it, and that was around his 40th point, and it was just crazy to watch.
Right, that shot right there just iced the game. It sealed it for the Suns. We were not going to come back after that. He hit that. It was just too much.
How many shots did he take for the entire game?
He was 5 from 8 from 3, and field goal was 17 from 32.
17 for 32, and that's what percentage? That's a little over 50%, which is pretty crazy since he was spacing the floor. 5 for 8 from 3, you said?
Yes, sir.
He's just one of the young stars that are just really making a name for themselves. And you saw last year when he dropped 70, he did one game. I think he's just going to keep improving, and his shot's going to get better. And he's one of the more underrated shooters in the league.
It's crazy to think about that the Suns didn't even get him in the top three. He came middle of the first round. And I don't think Phoenix would ever get into the top three because the NBA is like, I don't know. I believe I'm a believer in that the draft is definitely fixed, because Phoenix is a small market and they don't want Phoenix to get like one of the top players, so that they're stuck with guys like Booker. Well, stuck with guys like Booker and Josh Jackson. And Josh Jackson, he played crazy defense last night on Ben Simmons.
Yeah, he really locked up Ben Simmons. Like, he just seemed to frustrate him. And just get back to about your whole theory about the NBA being rigged. I think there's like a lot of arguments that can be made for that, but I think even if you're a small market team, you can still find players like Devin Booker and you can build a franchise around them.
Yeah, that's what happened with the Warriors, with Steph Curry and with Draymond Green in the second round. Like, they didn't have a top five pick. Like, their core right now, there isn't a top five.
It's just a matter of these small market teams making a name for themselves and through the draft. Once they get a star player, then people start looking at them more. When you look at the Jazz, they got Gobert and Gordon Hayward. Before that, they had Stockton Malone. They were kind of making a name. But ever since them, that duo, it's just been quiet from the Jazz. Then once they got Gobert and Hayward, then people started paying attention to them more.
Well, when's the last time the Jazz had a top three pick? When's the last time the Jazz had a top three pick?
Not more than five, 10 years ago.
No, yeah. Because that's why I believe that the draft is definitely fixed. But
they were also making playoffs too, though. It's not all about your theory about the NBA being rigged.
Well, yeah, but you got to take into account where did Gordon Hayward come from? Like, what part of the draft? Where did Gobert come from? What part of the draft?
Yeah, but even with that, just because, say, those couple drafts that they got those players, they turned them into what they are, and they're in playoffs ever since. So it's not like they had a lot of time of just being in the lottery
having a high percent chances. How far in the playoffs do you think the Jazz could have gone?
Well, if they're on the East, if they're on the East, they could have gone far further and probably would have kept Hayward.
That's true, but they're not gonna get. They weren't gonna win a ring with Hayward and Gobert.
I mean, if they're on the East, they would have gone on a couple playoff runs, and they would have attracted a big name free agent.
Wait, hold on. When's the last time the Jazz had a top three pick?
Top five pick was 2014, Dante Exum.
Exum.
And Dante Exum.
He wasn't anything really special. Anything before that?
Top three, Enes Kanter, 2011.
Enes Kanter? Why would? Who did they pass on in that draft and got Kanter? Who did they pass on?
What draft was it?
They passed on Tristan Thompson, Kemba Walker, Klay Thompson, both the Morrises, Kawhi Leonard.
Okay, so it's kind of like half the Jazz fault and, like, I mean, half the lottery fault, you can say. Because, like, they passed on Klay Thompson and
Isaiah Thomas.
Yeah.
You have to take into account who's running the teams, too. Because they may not have the right guys for the job. They might not have the right scouts. Because when you have that top pick, there's a lot on the line, and you need to be able to trust your scouts to find that key player. I'm sure at the time people thought Dante Exum was going to be an X factor for them, and he just fell flat. It's just a matter of getting lucky in the draft.
Yeah, I agree with you there. But to bring this back to the Sixers, what Sam Hinkie did was to try to increase the odds of getting a better draft pick with the whole tanking process. And with that, we got Embiid, Simmons, Okafor.
And the NBA didn't take a liking to that.
Exactly. And we didn't get a first overall pick until Sam Hinkie was out. That's how we got Ben Simmons.
Yeah,
and
there is definitely something there.
Yeah, it's a little fishy because I don't think we would have gotten a first overall if Sam Hinkie was still the GM of the team. But thank God he was, because we have all these assets now for the future. We have two first-round picks next year, possibly. I think we have three second-round picks next year. This is the upcoming draft in May. Isn't it May?
June.
The June draft. So we have a bright future, even though the future is now. It's still going.
Yeah, I think right now it's just a matter of us finally turning these assets into a player, or not from the draft, but like someone in a trade, because like I don't think we can keep stashing these guys, keep getting all these young guys. I think we need to start adding some veterans that can really help us in a playoff push. I think with this year, we're finally seeing some of that with how we ended up getting JJ Redick, and we just got a bunch of draft and stash guys, or traded away for money considerations.
Yeah, there's a lot of talks about huge name free agents next year coming to the Sixers. LeBron James, there's a very small chance, but it's still there. LeBron James and Klay Thompson in 2019.
Yeah, I think it's going to be a matter of whether or not the Sixers want someone who can get us over the hump, but we might not have them for long, or we just continue looking long term. And I think right now, the Sixers should look to more towards the long term. Not because LeBron won't be able to take us to deep in the playoffs, but because I think Klay Thompson's long term can have us deep in playoffs for as long as his career goes, if he plays until he's like 33. And I think he's also the better fit for us, just because Ben Simmons is going to be able to get him open.
Yeah, I completely agree with that. It might be too soon to be talking about playoffs, even though the Sixers right now are 13-10, which is good for,
I think that's sixth seed right now.
Fifth in the conference. So yeah, we have a couple like breathing spots behind underneath.
Right
us.
Now, we should just enjoy this progress that we're actually seeing, and we're finally seeing what we've been waiting for.
Yeah, definitely. And we don't even know yet if we actually need another piece to complete the puzzle. Because right now, we're fifth in the playoffs. Ben Simmons isn't fully developed. Embiid, all right, we could say that Embiid is definitely developed, but we still have other young guys. Korkmaz got sent down to the 87ers. They're not going to be the 87ers soon. What do you know? Do they even have a team name yet?
I don't think they agree on team, but they're going to be in the Sixers farmhouse down. I think they're still in Delaware. But, yeah, they're still working on rebranding the team.
Yeah, well, anyway, for Kent Korkmaz, he got sent down to Delaware. He wasn't getting any minutes, so I think he's way better off there. So, yeah, all these young guys that have yet to develop. Of course, we have Redick and other vets, and we could possibly
pick up vets on the way. Well, like I said before, it's just going to be a matter if we want to start winning now and get LeBron, or do we want to wait till later and see if we can develop. But we still don't know. We might as well try for a proven guy like LeBron, like Klay Thompson.
Well, and you have to take into account the money situation.
Yeah, but we could always just trade for Klay Thompson. And with LeBron, that's going to be a lot of money. Like, he may get us to win now, but that's still a lot of money for 1 year. I think we're just better off of slowly building a team of getting veterans in there. Maybe other guys like Jared Bayless at different positions. And I think it's just, I don't know where I'm going with this.
It says here LeBron's not free until 2019, and then 2018-2019 he's due $35.6 million.
Does he have a player option out for next
season? Yeah, he has a player option.
Yeah, and everyone expected him to leave Cleveland because of how they were doing
in the beginning of the season. With LeBron, he wants the player option just because he wants to be able to the option to opt out and then be able to look for more money either elsewhere or run the Cavs salary up.
Yeah, well, right now, like, I'm almost positive he's not going to leave Cleveland. Like,
I don't know about that because, I mean, they have been playing well as of late, but, like, it's going to be a matter of can they get past the Celtics, because I don't think he could handle losing to the Celtics in the playoffs, especially with Kyrie there.
Well, even if he does lose to the Celtics, what is he going to do about it? Just leave and then go where?
I mean, he's done with the Cavs. He lost with the Cavs, went elsewhere, won a couple trips, went back, won some more went to more finals, won another, and why wouldn't he do it again? I think his legacy is going to be based on just going to different franchises at this point and just trying to revive it and get them a championship.
I just don't see how the Sixers or any other team right now would be better than the Cavs are.
Well, it's debatable that they're only good because of what LeBron does. And that team is just filled with a bunch of veterans. We don't know how long they're going to be able to keep doing this. They might even lose D. Rose, who's been playing well, but he's ridden with injuries.
Where are the Cavs right now in the East?
Right now,
I think they're like
second or third.
They're like third. I don't think they're second yet. They're on a good win streak, yeah, but still, like, how long can they keep this up? And I don't think he wants to keep taking the same team to the finals against the Warriors and continuously lose. He might as well go to a younger team. Stay in the East, though, because he's not going to go out west the first tougher competition. He wants the easy ride to the finals.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. Like, he's definitely not going to the West, so he's staying in the East. There's only a couple teams that he could actually go to in terms of cap space, teams who could actually want him. Like, of course, everyone wants LeBron, but, like...
But I think the Sixers have made it a point that they are really interested. They come out and said that they will pitch to him this offseason.
Of course the Sixers are going to pitch to him. That doesn't mean he's going to be moved by it, by Embiid and Simmons. Of course he has a good relationship with Simmons, and that
could play a part. It's all going to depend on the playoffs this year.
Yeah, right now the Cavs are second in the East. Celtics are first. The Sixers are fifth. But I don't think LeBron would leave everything he has in Cleveland. Like, that's... He has built his legacy in Cleveland. Like, yeah, he left to go to Miami, but he came back. He built an entire school in Akron, and he was talking... I heard he was talking about being some type of principal at that school. Did you hear anything about that?
No, I haven't heard about that.
Yeah, I heard he wanted to be, like, some type of principal at the school he built in Akron. I don't know how credible that is. But, yeah, Principal LeBron.
I still don't think, like, from just what he's done throughout his career, he's not the one to be the stay back and hope he can continuously carry one single team every year.
Well, I think personally he just wants to settle down and settle down. I don't and stay in Cleveland because of what he's built there.
Honestly, I don't see why Cleveland even wanted him back in the first place.
Who wouldn't want LeBron James back?
Look at the team they could have had. They could have had Deion Waiters, Kyrie Irving. They could have had Andrew Wiggins. Yeah. That's a solid core right there.
Yeah, but it's not. Wiggins is nowhere near LeBron. Like, LeBron is.
Yeah, but they would have had more money. They would have had more money without LeBron on that team.
Yeah, more money, but they wouldn't have had a ring.
How do you know they could have gone free agents? Well,
they could have, but are any of them named LeBron?
Everything has to be about LeBron. I'm just saying,
like, you can't say that LeBron didn't have the biggest impact on their ring.
He had a big impact, but imagine the team without him. They could have developed into something like we're trying to develop into something.
They
still could
have had LeBron. They just wouldn't have signed Kevin Love.
But how long is the development going to take, though?
It depends on the team. If you look at the Warriors, when you say their development worked out?
Yeah, but how long did that take for Steph to actually develop into what Steph is right now?
I don't care. I'd wait that long to see our team turn into that.
You just got really sassy right there. You're like, I don't care. All right, let's tie this back to the Sixers. So LeBron could, very small chance, but possibly be coming over to Philly. Right now, we're fifth in the East. It's a playoff spot. We're about a quarter of the way through the season. Embiid's looking like he is on the first team all NBA and the All-Star team. And Simmons, too. He's looking like he's going to be an All-Star.
Well, like he said before the season even started, he's not looking to be better than the best rookie. He's looking to be one of the top in the league. And I think he's been playing like that.
Yeah, that definitely shows. He's, I want to say, 3 rebounds short of averaging a triple-double and a couple assists short per game. And there's not many other small forwards that are better than him, in my opinion.
Oh, definitely not. Even at point guard, I think he's one of the up there for the league's top point guards. He's averaging top 6 in assists, I believe. And I think him and Embiid are going to be a great duo for years to come. And Embiid could be in for a big payout, adding on to that 248. If he earns all NBA, that's going to put him in line for a supermax of 278.
Right, and wait, what's Simmons' stat line for so far this season?
Or 178, not 200.
Yeah, I don't know. Yeah, I don't know where you got that from.
He's averaging 9.3 rebounds. Points per game is 18.
I'm almost certain he's top 10 among centers and top 10 Embiid? In the league
He's giving Simmons stats. So, yeah, Embiid, yeah. Oh, 100%, he's a top 10 center in the league. He's probably, if he's not the best, he's definitely top 4. I give him, all right, Boogie. Who else?
There's Cat, Anthony Davis, if you want to add them into it.
Possibly.
Cat's a power, not Cat. KD's a power forward.
Yeah, but if you want to add him into, like, the center conversation, I would keep him at the power forward. But you got Boogie, Cat. Who else?
Whiteside.
And Embiid.
Yeah, I'd say Embiid's 4.
Porzingis. He's been playing great this year.
Yeah. All right, he's definitely top 5.
Yeah. Right now, I don't think he's playing to what Porzingis has been doing.
What's Embiid? Porzingis' stats this year so far?
I'm pretty sure right now he's leading. He's top 5 in the league for points per game right now. And the Knicks are winning games, which many people didn't really see coming. I didn't see it coming.
Exactly.
Right now he's averaging 25 points a game, 6 rebounds, 1.1 assists, 2.1 blocks.
Yeah, that's pretty elite numbers.
And think, we could have had him if Okafor played slightly better defense than Towns.
But we would never have.
Or we could have had Russell.
Porzingis never wanted to come here. Him and his entire camp when we had that 3rd pick. It was the same draft as Okafor, yes, right?
We would never have Ben Simmons, though. Because Embiid and Porzingis would be frying. Yeah. And Ben Simmons would never come.
Yeah, that's another argument you can make.
Unless Porzingis got hurt.
Yeah, but hurt. No, but during that draft, I'm pretty sure Hinkie wanted to take Porzingis over Okafor, but... But the entire Porzingis camp was like, no, don't draft. Yeah,
that's definitely a rumor that's around.
Yeah, don't draft Kristaps. We don't want to be in Philadelphia. And just imagine if he came here.
No Simmons or
you can't say that, like, 100%. And Fultz right now, he hasn't played yet.
I still think Fultz will be fine.
Yeah, a lot of people are calling him a bust.
Well, he just came back from Kentucky for his rehab. He just came back to Philly, so that's good news. We're still waiting for like further news on when he'll play again, but like him being back with the team is definitely something to talk about.
Honestly, I'm kind of worried for Fultz to come back because it might mess with the team chemistry. Like, just throwing him into the starting lineup again?
They're not going to throw him into the starting lineup.
What do you think? He's coming off the bench behind...
Yeah, he's going to be working off the bench. He might even come... he might get less minutes than McConnell getting. Plus to start off, then as he progresses with his rehab and how he does with his injury while he's playing, then we'll slowly find out where he belongs. And say if he finally starts playing like we expect him to, we can easily put him right into the lineup and just move Sarge to the bench.
They could have Fultz in
the final. I think like it was really good that we were able to get Sarge into the starting lineup because I feel like that really helped him develop more. And I think once he's moved back to the bench, he's going to be able to be that leader.
Yeah. What's he at? What has he been averaging at since he became a starter?
He has to be averaging close to like 10 points and roughly 7 rebounds.
I honestly think he's averaging more points than 10 points a game. And I don't know how long Sarge would tolerate coming off the bench after he's had a taste of the starting lineup like that. Do you think he would have a problem with coming off the bench for like a long time?
I can't exactly see him being mad with it. I think also our starting lineups kind of revolve around our matchup too, because we may want to go with a smaller lineup at times where he might not be able to make the cut to be a starter because we already have too many bigs starting. We have a point guard that's 7 foot.
Yeah, that's the only problem I have with how much depth that we've had coming off the bench. Like, TJ could start for a much lower end team, like he was starting last year for us, and you just have to wonder when guys are gonna have like okay, I wanna get more minutes and like I want out. Just like Ja hasn't played, and I still think that's so messed up.
Yeah, they really owe it to him to either trade him or just buy him out. But I think right now with guys like McConnell and Sarge, I think we have just the right system and coaches with Brett Brown that will be, those players are more worried about the team aspect rather than looking at themselves, much like what Doug Peterson has done with his running backs. You have all these two-star running backs that really want the ball, but like it's going to be about performance base, not whether who's the name. It's just going to be who has their momentum. I think that's going to translate into what the Sixers do. And even those running backs, they're about the team, just how I think the Sixers are being set up as just a team-oriented players.
The Sixers' next matchup is against the Lakers on Thursday. It's an 8 o'clock game. It's the second time the Sixers are versing the Lakers this year, the first time at home, and it's going to be a good game to watch. That's all the time we're going to have for today. I'm Matt Schlernitzauer.
I'm Tim Wolf.
And this is Underdog Philly Sports Talk.